Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to tune in. We know that you got through Monday. We're here on Tuesday trying to make sure things are happening for you. And I don't know what happened with the signal earlier, but we did have some, we assumed that it was running. All the equipment here showed that it was running and stuff. And somehow during the middle of the night, it went out or something, because even though the player's playing and everything's connected and the stream's running, the volume's pumping through the computer, it just seemed weird that nothing was coming through. Nothing was coming through. So, oh well, you go with today, and you get up and you start together. And I'm glad I'm doing a live show right now. That way we could fix the problem with this stream. Kind of ridiculous sometimes. You put things together, but that's what happens when you're using the internet and you're running a station, and you don't have all the right equipment. You just kind of just do with whatever you're doing. You just keep going, and you just keep doing things. You keep making things happen regardless. Our address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Again, that address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. You can always email me, therev@davidyanezministries.com. Again, that's therev@davidyanezministries.com, or you can reach me, therev@midwatchwiththerev.com. Now, that's the one I meant to give you. So therev@midwatchwiththerev.com. You can visit my sites at revministries.com. Of course, you have revmedianetwork.com, but to see this player is playing throughout the show, and this broadcast and the station is playing throughout several websites, at least 9 to 10 of them. That are our own websites. We have keepingmymarriage.com, relationshipseries.com, we have midwatchwiththerev.com. So this player, along with the television player, is about to start, and we're going to get to that in just a second. It's just about going to about 9 or 10 of our sites, plus it's playing on several other people's sites as well, several other ministry sites that can continue with traffic and get a lot of hits, and it's a good thing. That's a very, very good thing. Now, so when I'm talking to you and telling you you should go ahead and call our, check out our websites and stuff like that, I'm meaning to come to Rev Media Network, because I have no idea where you're listening from. I know that we get most of our hits are from Rev Media Network. So anyway, that explains that, and just really trying to get you the idea that this is bigger than some of us think, and we are happy to be a blessing to the neighborhoods and to those that are listening. Now, we have a lot of hits in Houston as well, our hometown here, and it's a good thing to know that the locals are listening to the station, but it's also awesome to hear that we're being listened to in Romania. A whole bunch of people in Romania continue to log on and listen to the shows, and that's awesome. In fact, Romania's able to listen to almost all our shows. All of our websites, they continue to surprise us. They're over there listening. Great Britain, Canada. It's cool that those countries are listening as well. And we have several other countries. We have South America. We have South Africa, Israel, Pakistan, Latvia, Russia. And it's just a lot of countries. Too many to name. Mexico. Oh, several places. Several places. So it's a blessing to see that that's happening. It's a blessing to see that God is doing good things. That God is moving in a great way through this station. It's a blessing. You know, the other day I was thumbing through the internet, and I was joking around with my wife about some of these things that people post. But one thing I noticed that they post, and today's subject is supposed to be about faith, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But one of the interesting things that I seen them post was, I think it was a soccer player from New Mexico, a woman soccer player for the University of New Mexico. I think that's the college. I'm not quite sure, but it's amazing. If you look at all the videos they had on this young woman, everything that she was doing, everything that she would be a little aggressive with her elbows and hit someone in the back. She'd punch someone in the face while trying to head a soccer ball. And I think that a lot of the last things they had on videotape was her just grabbing the ponytail of one of the players that was just watching the ball coming, watching the play in front of her. And she just grabbed her hair and yanked her and threw her over onto her feet. You could literally see her feet inside the camera. And you look at that, and you're like, why would you play like that? Why would you be that crazy, that aggressive? And I always found out the ones that would always be hurting and hitting and hurting people and hitting them when I was playing sports a lot and playing soccer and basketball, that those were the ones that just could not keep up. Those are the ones that could not keep up with the rest of the people. They were outmatched, they were outplayed, and the only way they could even the odds or even slightly have a little bit of an advantage is if they would hurt one of the main players. If they would physically hurt and push and hurt people so people wouldn't get around them when they get the ball, they'd have a clear pathway to score or to steal the ball. So, you look at that. Think about that for just a minute. I mean, of course, I believe the school suspended her indefinitely. Not quite sure. Read part of an article. I just was more interested in the videotape than anything. It was funny. I really think it was just funny to see this person playing like that. Especially since soccer, you have to have a great skill to play it. You have to play at a quick level. Into that college level and stuff, and then into pros, and then to go into the European pros, which is completely different. Our professional soccer here in the U.S. is nothing compared to what's overseas, and even what's in Mexico and mainly Argentina, Italy, places all over Europe. Our professional soccer division is barely, maybe a Division II at best. If not of the Division 3, for sure. For sure we rank about Division 3 in the European countries. But the thing is, you know, we're trying. U.S. is trying. You think of all the people that are out there playing different sports, not just soccer, but basketball, baseball, stuff like that. And there's always going to be some person on one of the teams trying to make a team trying to hurt someone else. It's sad, but sometimes that's how they have advantage. Now think of it spiritually as well. Think of it spiritually as well, because we see it in the church. It was not spoken about a lot. It's not. It's not brought up. It's not. No one talks about it openly as much, but it's there. There will always be someone in the church or in a ministry that will do things, not necessarily hurt, slap, kick, beat you like the soccer player, but will do things. They will challenge. When they feel challenged, they will either threaten you. When they feel challenged in position or in promotion, they will lash out. They will create rumors. They will keep people away from knowing how really great person you are. They are. And I just thought I'd bring that up. I mean, out of the blue, that just hit me when I was looking at that. And it's true anywhere. If you're at work, there will be that one person at work that tends to be more trying to get ahead in the position and the job, that they will backstab you. They talk about you. They would do more than what they should be doing to get you in trouble. So you got to watch it, saints. You got to watch it. You got to watch it out there. And that is a prime example. You can be completely into a game and playing and in your sport and doing everything you're supposed to be safe and being careful about everyone else and keeping them safe.
And then
all of a sudden, someone grabs you by the hair and just throws you on the floor. You're attacked without even noticing. You're attacked without even noticing. What does that mean? That means that you were just physically attacked. You're attacked without even noticing that there was danger. You were looking at the play, and then you were attacked. You were attacked innocently. And I'm writing this down. I want you to write it down because I think that's so true. When we're working and doing God's work, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're just at work. You're just at work itself. And you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. There will always be something or someone that will try to disposition you. There's always going to be that person that will try and keep you from succeeding. They will try and take your spoil, your riches that you're promised by God. Because, you know, we're promised certain things from God. And they will try and take those things from you outside of God's will. And the thing is, you won't even know it, but they'll come up and they'll just grab it. They'll come up and they'll take it right out of your hand unexpectedly. Just like this poor young lady. You should Google that. Put in your Google search New Mexico. Go to Yahoo, because that's where I found it. And it's just the video. It's just crazy. It's just crazy to see the hurt. The person just laying there on the floor like she just went 10 rounds with Rocky. And on the floor, knocked out. That's crazy. That is so crazy. Life is like that, my friends. Life is like that. We may have advantages spiritually, physically, mentally, but an attack can come out of nowhere. An attack can come right at you without you even noticing, unexpectedly. Grabs you, throws you to the floor. How many of our troubles in life come without notice? Well, you can think of a passing of someone that you love that's coming without notice. Now, sometimes the passing, and we covered this before, sometimes the passing is expected. Someone has a disease, or someone is old, or someone has been in an accident, and for some time they've been dealing with something, and they're at the point where you know it's too late. Well, and then prayer's there, and God heals divinely and touches those to heal them. And I believe that. I believe God can heal you. There's no doubt in my mind that God can heal you. There's no doubt in my mind that God can touch you. No doubt. But one thing, I know for sure is that when someone passes unexpectedly, just out of the blue, you just unexpectedly are just hit with it. Unexpectedly, no, what do? Just to give you a story real quick, one of my pastor friends, Pastor Mike Salazar, who is on the program several times. He's going to be coming to Metro Church on the 29th of November, end of this month. And he was playing basketball. He was a youth pastor playing basketball at his church with his pastor. And they were just playing basketball, couple used him, and he had such a strong, loving relationship with this man of God. And then all of a sudden, when they were playing, the pastor just collapsed on the floor right there. He just collapsed. And this man was a great man. A loving, loving, loving man. A father to him in just ministry. And he just collapsed. They dialed 911, but it was too late. He passed away. He died. Now that, my friends, is unexpected. That, my friends, is life happening right there before you. And in your eyes, you just see everything just fall down, fall right before you. Now, we tend to blame the enemy. We tend to blame the devil. 9 times out of 10, it is, and sometimes it's God's divine will when things happen. But I tell you this, God will never be behind an attack. Now, if you put yourself in a situation, then, and you're following God and you're believing in God, then you have to believe that God will take care of you. But you can't expect to be taken care of if you're in the wrong, if you're not supposed to be somewhere where you're not supposed to be. You have to be where God wants you to be, no matter what. No matter what, you have to be where God wants you to be, in God's perfect will. If you're outside of His will and something happens, then you have to believe that He's going to take care of you, because you are completely, completely, you are completely by mercy walking. Let me tell you what's going to happen tonight. And I told you how to get to this. This is a good time to throw this in. Tonight, Midwatch is launching television. 7 o'clock. Right now, if you go to the TV channel, you'll see one of the webinars, of our past webinars for TV. It's there. It's the video. It's a good video. It's only 20 minutes. 23 minutes or so. You enjoy it. Look at it. But today, it's 7 o'clock. We plug in to television. And within this next 2 months, we'll be 24/7 signal streaming. So, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know that God is doing some awesome things here at the station. But I want to invite you, if you can come out 7 o'clock on your computer, turn it on. It'll start playing right at 7. And you can listen to it. You'll be able to see me, the Rev. And we're titled this one, Midwatch. And basically, it's going to be some of the material that we cover here on the air, mixed with a couple of other stuff. And it's going to be just a quick television show, quick 20 minutes. There's a lot more I want to do with it. We're going to get real creative with our editing. But the time is not here to do that. And we will. We will get it going. We will make it happen. No matter what, my friends, we're going forward. Whether we hear listeners talk to us or whether we just go forward, that's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. Amen. Let me play you a commercial. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. God bless you.
Greetings, everybody. You're listening to War Radio over the Rev Media Network. Hi, I'm the Watchman. My name is Dana Smith, and I'm host of War Radio Into the Night. We feature three great shows on this network, the Rev Media Network. Tuesday, 7 to 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time is one of our first shows that we ever started. Very, very popular, World Affairs and Hot Prophecy News. Thursday nights, this is a new show that we started called The Watchman and a Warrior, with interviews and light in the fire topics, 7 to 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And then on Saturdays, 7 to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Times, don't miss this biblical preparation time. This is a time when friends of the Watchman gather together and we get into the Word of God to prepare for what is coming. It's called Watchmen and Friends, and you won't want to miss it. Join all of the gang and many others. Join us, my friends, right here on this network. You can listen live to this network on our websites. It's all connected. Join us for a live chat, call-ins, and listen live from our websites, or you can listen directly as well from the Rev Media Network. Now, if you want to join in on our chat and listen live pages, you need to go to warn-usa.com or warn-radio.com or ddayforamerica.com, and that 4 is the number 4, D-Day, the number 4, America.com. And look for the chat listen live links. You'll be glad you did, and we will be glad that you joined us. Shalom, my friends. God bless, and thanks for listening.
Hello, my friends. This is Evangelist Charles Millott. I'd like to invite each one of you to take time to tune in to Life Through the Eyes of Christ. It's every Friday night at 8 p.m. at Central Time and Sundays at 2 p.m. Central Time. I call it Life Through the Eyes of Christ because I believe that is the way God wants us to look at the world around us through the eyes of Christ. So I invite each and every one to take time to tune in at 8 p.m. Friday night Central Time and Sunday at 2 p.m. Central Time to join in where I will be preaching and praying for the sick. That's Life Through the Eyes of Christ. And I thank each and every one. God bless you all.
Have you ever felt that you let God down in the way you handled your dating or marriage relationships? How about the deja vu feeling that you had the same bad experience before, but you can't help repeating what you know doesn't work? Emotions about our relationships are constantly shifting from highs to lows. If we know that we are not in the right relationship, we still try to convince ourselves of our partner otherwise. Sometimes that convincing leads us away from God, Christian friends, family, and the church. Does this describe you? And if it does, do you ever wonder if all your rationalizations and poor choices have exceeded the limits of God's patience with you so that you are almost out of grace? If so, my friends, I have written this book for you. The title of my new book is Almost Out of Grace. This book will be a blessing in your life. You can pick this book up anywhere books are sold. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, anywhere books are sold. You can also pick it up at my website, RevMinistries.com, for $12. Also, AlmostOutOfGrace.com, you can go there, and there's a link there as well to purchase the book. If you want to preview the chapters, if you want to know more about the book and why I wrote the book, visit AlmostOutOfGrace.com. You can get through there through RevMinistries.com, or you can go straight to AlmostOutOfGrace.com, and you'll be able to see why this book came into existence and how it came into existence through radio shows. God bless you. Please purchase the book anywhere books are sold, or you can write us at P.O. Box 5172. Send us a check, money order. We also take credit card, and if you want to call in at 888-241-0768, hit extension 2, and we'll be able to help you in the bookstore. God bless you. Thank you. Again, Almost Out of Grace will be a blessing to your relationships.
Welcome back. This is your host, David Yannis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you so much for tuning in. I'm excited that that you're here, that you're able to listen to the show. We have so many things that we try and get done. And one thing is that I try and stay faithful to the 2 o'clock time frame. We're building stuff. In fact, I passed up on an opportunity because it had some stuff happening in the afternoons. Just because I want to keep this time slot that I'm doing, and it's 2 to 3 o'clock. I really like to be on the air with y'all at that time. It's something I'm going to commit to for the next few years to try and get this thing off the ground. We have constantly and always had listeners. We've always, no matter, like when we're on the regular stations, terrestrial stations, we would be in, I think the most stations we were ever in were about 30 stations at one time. And that was a lot of work to get those shows out there. A lot of work. Imagine having to put the shows together, edit the shows, and then get them all mailed into certain formats to different stations. And one thing for sure is that we always had listeners. We haven't always had supporters, but we've always had listeners. And I know it takes time. It takes time to actually get people to support, so we're going to believe that, and that this station's going to be up and running, because it's not just a show, but a station. It's not just a program, but it's a network. And we're also doing TV, so we're adding stuff into the mix. You have to go forward. I think, again, this past Sunday, one thing I preached on was chance. Take a chance in life. Take a chance. I said, you don't want to go and be in Las Vegas with Brother David here with the Rev. You do not want to do that. No, no, no. Because I want to say, let it ride, baby. Let it ride. Let's take a chance. Of course, if it's your money, it's easier for me to say that. If it's my money, I might think a little bit longer on it. But it's true. It's true. I'll read you an article from the Christian Post, and it kind of fits with what we're talking about. It talks about the mega church pastor challenges hypocrites and pretenders. A pastor of one of the largest churches in the country launched a new sermon series addressing the hypocrisy and the pretending prevalent among Christians, entitled The Pretenders. The series draws attention to the biblical time when Jesus went not to the red light district, the nightclub, or the boardroom to confront the hypocrite, but to the church. Jesus, the main problem with the religious leaders in his day is that they were hypocrites, said Cal Eidelman, teaching minister at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. That's what he calls them to their face, hypocrites. Over the weekend, Eidelman addressed the hypocrites in the church today, saying, there are pretenders among us. They're putting on a performance. They've learned to wear this mask in church. Now, that's a good topic. That's a good topic, because how many times do we see people in church that go through the motions, that raise their hands or praises the Lord, writes their tithe check, offering check, but they're just going through the motions. There's nothing really set there on God. There's no heartfeltness at all. And it continues in this article. It says, there are unmarried couples who are sitting next to each other in church pretending that the relationship was just as pure last night as it appears to be right now. He noted, there are pretenders who will sing Amazing Grace with tear-filled eyes, but they refuse to extend that same grace to a family member who hurt them. There are pretenders who have become expert at separating their faith from their political views, from their money management, and from their entertainment preferences. He added, there are pretenders who spend an hour and a half every day in front of a mirror making sure everything looks great on the outside, but just can't seem to find 10 minutes to read the Bible or to pray. Now, that's some good stuff right there. I want to read that again. If you want to write it down, you can. If not, just go to ChristianPost.com and you'll find it. It's called Megachurch Pastor Calls Out Pretenders and Hypocrites. There are pretenders who become experts at separating their faith from their political views, from their money faith, from their money management, and from their entertainment preferences. There are pretenders who spend an hour and a half every day in front of a mirror making sure everything looks great on the outside, but just can't seem to find 10 minutes to read their Bible or to pray. there are pretenders who are so quick to point out and condemn the sexual immorality in the culture, but don't seem too concerned about their lust. Now, let's read that one more time. There are pretenders who are so quick to point out and condemn the sexual immorality in the culture, but don't seem to be concerned about their lust. It's easy to point. It's easy, just like Jesus said about the people that were about to stone the poor, the hooker, the woman of the night. And he basically said, look, he without sin cast the first stone. It's easy to throw stuff and to point at someone else's wrongs, but when you don't look at your own wrongs and your influences and what keeps you running, we don't take that into effect and take that into an idea, then you're being a hypocrite. Just simple, just plain. You may get mad, you may change the station, it don't matter. That's what you're being. Studies conducted by Lifeway Research in 2007 have shown that the most people outside and inside the church believe hypocrisy is prevalent among believers. Among the unchurched, 70% said they think their church is full of hypocrites. And 67% of the 20 to 29-year-olds said the same. So their perception is that the church is full of hypocrites. People between 20 and 29-year-olds said about the same thing, 67% of them. And the church itself, said that people believe that there are hypocrites in and outside. There are two groups of hypocrites Christians tend to fall into. Olivman observed. They include the Sadducees and the Pharisees, who made up the religious ruling body in Jesus' time. The Sadducees made up the chief priests and elders and were born into that position. The Sadducees were born into that position. The Pharisees, meanwhile, were Jews who studied their way into their position. Many pretenders today see their faith as something they were born into and never chose, Eidelman explained. You know how to act, you know what to say, you know what to do, but you never chose it, the Southeast minister said. You got the part down, but it was never real. As long as you can remember, you've always had the mask. In fact, you've had it so long that you don't even know what you look like without it. To such pretenders, Jesus would say, woe to you, you hypocrites, Eidelman said. But a lot of pretenders are more like the Pharisees, Eidelman explains. They see their faith as intellectual knowledge and behavioral compliance. Such Christians may say all the right things and follow all the right rules, but their hearts don't reflect that. He indicated, it's not enough just to know the right things and to say the right things. Jesus wants it to be in your heart, the minister stressed. Jesus summed up the Pharisees in this way: they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Just as Jesus Christ was upfront and harsh in rebuking the hypocrisy among the religious leaders, Eidelman urged Christians to also be brutal with themselves. Be brutal, be broken, he encouraged. Jesus is trying to hold up a mirror and tell us the truth. The cure for pretending, he said, is confessing one's sins. When you take the mask off, you find a peace for your soul that just doesn't come with your faking it. Southeast Christian Church is the 12th largest church in America, according to the Outreach Magazine's 2008 Top 100 Churches. That's awesome. A I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome that this his thoughts and stuff. I like the Pharisee-Sadducee thing there. The Sadducees were born into the position, and the Pharisees studied themselves into this position. And he covered it really well. If you look at the whole article, he covered that really, really well. Sometimes we are. I mean, how many of us were born into a Christian home? How many of us, from when we were little, we were told about God and about faith? And we went through the motions. We went to church. If we weren't at church, we were at some kind of church function. And that's crazy, because it's true. We are born into it. At some point, it becomes heart. It becomes part of you. And that you are not just part of it, but it becomes part of you. And the other way is you think about it. You think, how many people, now I run into this a lot, people that don't claim to be Christians but think they know everything about the Bible. And that's not the point he was making, but there are some people in the church that just know a lot about the Bible, a lot about the Word, but it's never sunk in to where it's transforming and there's power in them. Not at all. And we see that. Even some ministers are like that. Even some ministers are like that. I know for a fact that it's got to be real. That it's got to be real. I know that you have to not only have the knowledge of it, because it's not too hard to grasp. Follow God. You can't always depend on you doing always the right thing. That's why there's salvation, not by works, but by faith. Because you can never depend on always doing the right thing to get to heaven. Because that would be so hard for anyone. There was nothing you could do to get to heaven. That was the whole point of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Was that there was nothing ever good enough to get you to heaven on earth that you could do, or that you could buy, or that you can give. There was nothing. That means that you didn't have to be the prettiest. You didn't have to be the most handsomest. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the richest to buy it. You don't have to be the most popular to get in. Because if that was the case, then a lot of people, no harm intended, but a lot of people would not fit in. Those that didn't have funds, that were broke or not have or living check to check, would never get in. Those that were not fashion models or movie stars would never get in. Those movie stars and fashion models and people with great means of funds could never get in because they couldn't buy it. And it's not for sale. So, the person that was perfect could not get in. Because then he'd be the only one getting in because we're not all perfect. But there's probably one person that doesn't do anything wrong. Maybe two. Maybe three. So, you see why it was so important for Jesus. You see why it was so important that we could only come to God through Christ, because he couldn't be bought, he couldn't be made, he couldn't be given away, he could not be conjured, he couldn't, any other thing, it just could not happen. So when you look at that, my friends, when you think about that, my friends, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to think how good God is to you. Because if you do think you know a lot, and you're never wrong, then you fall into intellect. And if you feel like you've been doing this forever, then reevaluate your commitment right now. And that's what I want to tell you. I want you to reevaluate your commitments. Think about it. I want you to think about it. I want you to figure it out and think about it. I want you to put your minds together. And think about it. How long have you been following him? How long have you been following? How long have you been walking with God? How long? I'll tell you what, my friends. God knows your heart's really there. God knows if you're really there. I challenge you, my friends. There's an article I want to read right here. But before we get to that, for some reason, my computer was going really slow. Try to get to, okay, here it is. Billy Ray Graham gives thanks on the 91st birthday. Oh, Lord, I didn't know Billy Graham was that old. On the 91st birthday, world-renowned preacher Billy Graham is spending the weekend receiving several family members at his home in North Carolina to celebrate his 91st birthday. We're going to read this article, buddy. I've experienced God's gracious love in a personal way all these years, Graham said in his reflection. Today my heart is filled with a gratitude to the Lord for all he has done for me and for all prayers for so many people over the years. According to Billy Graham Evangelistical Association, Graham is still in good health, though dealing with various age-related conditions such as macular degeneration and hearing loss. He exercises daily, taking short walks at his mountain home with the aid of a walker to keep his balance. He also remains involved in the work of the BGEA, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, the ministry he founded 60 years ago and that is now led by his son, Franklin. Although my health now keeps me mostly at home, Franklin and our BGEA team continue proclaiming God's love and the gospel of Jesus Christ to lost people in many places around the world. Graham is still involved in writing projects and spends time each morning and evening in prayer with friends, family, and BGA staff. His pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, the First Baptist Church, Spartanburg, South Carolina, also visits weekly for times of prayer and encouragement. As he enters his 10th decade, Graham said he continued to miss his late wife and lifelong partner Ruth Bell Graham, who passed away in June 2007. Because while I know God keeps me here for a purpose, I look forward to the time when I will be released or reunited with Ruth in heaven, Graham said. However, I am enjoying this season of life, watching my children and grandchildren, now even my great-grandchildren, grow more fully into their own ministries. It's another blessing of these senior years, he added. Having preached to over 210 million people in over 185 countries, Graham is believed to have spoken face-to-face with more people in more places than anyone in history. Hundreds of millions more have been reached through television, video, film, and webcast. The evangelist has been regularly listed by the Gallup organization as one of the top 10 admired men in the world, making an unparalleled 51 appearances and 44 consecutive appearances since 1948. He has also appeared on the covers of Time, Newsweek, Life, U.S. News, and World Report, Parade, and numerous other magazines, and has been the subject of many newspapers and magazine featured articles and books. Graham officially marks his 91st birthday on Saturday. That is awesome. We had to bypass the other article I was going to read and grab that one because that just encourages you. 91 years old. 91. 60 years. He's founded his Billy Graham Association. 60 years. That's a long, long time. Means he was 31 when he started. And now 91. That's amazing. That's amazing. You'd be that. That's longevity, my friends. That is longevity at the best. That means since 1950, the man's been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Since 1950. That's amazing. Let's see, 60 years plus 38. What is that? 15 plus 60. Good Lord. Now I am that old. I'm just doing this math right now. Wow. It's a long time. Revelation Ministries has been around for 15 years. That's a start. Nothing compared to old Billy Graham. But you know what? That's amazing. He stays active. He's writing no matter what. He's constantly in fellowship and in prayer. And for 91, hey, he's doing good. He's doing good. I'm telling you, longevity, that's where we want it. We want longevity, no matter what. Guys, I want you to remember, gals, revelators, I want you to remember my broadcast tonight. Midwatch is tonight. Remember, Tuesday night. Start every Tuesday night. You're going to be able to hear it. And eventually, we're going to have a show on Thursday night that's about relationships. And then Wednesday night, it's going to be Survivors by Faith, but those are not put together yet. Those are in the works. But for now, we're doing Midwatch. And I want y'all to actually go to the site, listen to it, view it. It's video. It's going to be a 20-minute show. Today's topic is about the leadership meeting. So I hope you all enjoy it. I hope you all can be a part of it tonight. And I know that I'm just getting things ready, getting things warmed up. My speaker system is down big time. Boy, old computers just don't work with new technology. You find that out. Well, my friends, it's about that time. I want to encourage you again tonight. Please listen to our show. Listen to what our broadcast is. View it, 7 o'clock. And then remember, Damon Smith comes on at 8 o'clock on the radio channel, Channel 1. Please listen to his broadcast, Warren Radio. And we'll see you next time, my friends. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of music. God bless you.
He has called me to be, oh, if only you saw his holy face every time you look at me. Well, then maybe, just maybe you'd come to believe and you'd want to follow him too. Oh, if I were a pure reflection, then maybe his love would reach.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week. God bless.